Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Today's story, Max and the Sausage, Egg, and Cheese Biscuit, 2 for $4 deal.
Here's my opinion. I like the biscuit at Burger King. It's got that fresh baked smell. And your whole breakfast is in there. Eggs, cheese, sausage. And they're 2 for $4. You got it? Am I trending now?
Yeah, Max. Hashtag biscuit. Try a freshly baked sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. Now just 2 for $4 only at Burger King. This is not breakfast. This is a Burger King breakfast. At participating restaurants, limited time only.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the VRO's month of May. It is Monday, May 23rd, 2011, and tonight's interview will be done by me, Jess, with Amber and Amy, as always, running our switchboard. Tonight we will be interviewing Marguerite McIntyre, who plays Sheriff Forbes on The Vampire Diaries. Hey, Marguerite, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. We're so glad that you joined us tonight. We've had a lot of questions sent in for you.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So, as you know, we're a fan-oriented show, so the fans send all their questions in for you. That's why we like doing it, because we get to ask not only our questions, but their questions, too. So, since I know your time is limited and you're a very busy woman, we'll just jump right in. And
okay.
The first question that we have is, how do you feel about the way your character has grown from season one to season two?
Oh, that's a nice question. I feel like it's subtle. I mean, there's a lot of characters to service in this show, so you don't get a lot of time with each character, so it's kind of important how you play each character, and especially given a limited amount of time. So I feel like one of the things that's been great is, and hard to do, is showing her complete, you know, single-minded mission, though she's not very successful at it, to try and, you know, save everyone from the vampires, to having her deal with Caroline becoming one. The idea that there's this earlier in the season that she finds out Caroline is one, freaks out, doesn't know what to do. They have this beautiful sort of moment where she realizes Caroline as vampire is even stronger and better than she was as her human daughter, and that they have this great moment, and then Caroline has to take her memory away. And then again, has to learn that Caroline is a vampire and then knows it for a few episodes and sits on it and doesn't know what to do about it and doesn't do the automatic, I have to kill her or do something about this, and that she struggles so hard with it is great. I think that that's really good, because I just couldn't imagine a mother being able to just act and however seated her feelings were about this in a violent way without it being just torture, you know? So the idea that they could play, frankly, the same plot point again and have it come out differently was, to me, wonderful. I was really excited by that. And it sort of jumps off this, and I don't know where it's going next season, but there's a lot of places it could go, which are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of different ways. We do our recap show on Friday nights, and Amber and I, we never agree, and we always have our own what we think will happen. So we were really mad when you had when you forgot.
Yeah,
when she made you forget, you know, earlier on in season two, it was very sad, because we liked the fact that you knew, and you had to not know so soon after you found out. That was, you know, I know that was hard to play, I'm sure.
Well, actually, I mean, it was really well written, and so it makes it a lot easier. But definitely, it was something where I thought, well, it made you wonder where, because if they played it again, I thought, well, if they play it again, they have to kill me, you know, because otherwise, what am I going to do? I either have to accept it or they have to kill me. So
right.
Thrillingly, I'm not dead. So, and it's a sweet thing. I think it's also the beautiful metaphor of accepting your kids for who they are, whatever they are, on some level, that you have to sort of work with who they are and then find your way. I mean, metaphorically, obviously. So there was something really sweet about her actually, like Caroline saying, I'm not afraid of you anymore, and I don't want you to be afraid of me. However different we are, like, you're my mother, and come on. And it's just the most beautiful sort of image to leave people with. I think it's really sweet.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, it's people that aren't mothers sometimes don't get that, but... But
I'm not a mother, but I have one. And,
there you go.
And I know that mother-daughter relationships can be super complicated, but that ultimately, or any, you know, all family relationships, but especially mother-daughter and I suppose father and son, I mean, it's pretty big, and to accept each other for who you are, each person, you know, is sort of the most important sort of stumbling block and the one that gets people run up into all the time. So it's sort of the same thing like in the letter when John Gilbert's letter, that beautiful letter, I cried when I read that letter, where he says, you know, I would have loved you whether you were a vampire or not. I mean, it's just, that's everything she needed to hear. He's gone, but she actually got from him the biggest thing that she could get from him before she had to let him go. So there's something kind of, I mean, it played out a lot in the season. It was nice.
It definitely did. And that, you know, in case you didn't know, we actually had David in Anders last week, and we talked about that letter with him. And it was a very moving letter. You're right. I think it was a good way to end the season and, you know, to have that being said.
And he was so good in that episode, and when he fell over, I was like, oh. I mean, when I read that episode, my jaw was on the ground. I was like, oh, my God. It was fabulous.
We're definitely going to miss David on the show, I think. I know y'all will, but we will too.
Yeah, he's so funny. And Sarah, too, who also was so beautiful in that episode. She just was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, do you watch the show as a fan as well as a cast member? And if so, is it hard for you to watch yourself on screen?
Yes, it's hard for me to watch myself on screen. Not all the time. Sometimes they're harder than others. I must say that I think me in sheriff clothes is not the most flattering thing I can wear. So the vain part of me once in a while goes, wow, really? Wow. And then once in a while, I mean, you always sort of wish you were a little bit better at something, or you see something and you go, oh, I could have, oh. But most of the time it's not terrible at all. And sometimes it's fun. And yes, but I am a fan of this. So it does make it much easier to watch. Sometimes you do stuff and it's pretty much, you're like, it's a job and it's great and you do everything you can to sort of put your heart and soul into it. But some stuff is just like, I mean, this is pretty fascinating stuff. It's so page-turnery when you're reading it. And then when you see it, you're just, it was great because we at the wrap party in L.A., we watched the episode live with this gigantic group of people. And my friend Liz Tiglar was sitting next to me on one side and Julie was on the other, Julie Plec. And what was hilarious was Liz is a big fan, so I don't tell her anything. And she was like screaming her head off, and there was something so great because she breaks for television. I mean, that's what she does. For her to be so sucked into it so hard and have Julie just looking at her like, oh, we got her, you know, it was really, really fun. So, yeah, I'm definitely a fan of the show, too, and of everybody in it. It's like a really cool cast.
Well, that's good to hear because we've been asking everybody, and a lot of them have said that they are fans, and even after they died, they kept watching, you know, or vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I mean, it's kind of addictive. I mean, that's sort of one of the things about it. And because they do these crazy, like, act one ends on a stronger point than most whole episodes do something else. I mean, you're so sucked in because you're like, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do next? And then, of course, any time you have those moments between, you know, Elena and Stefan and Damon, like any of those moments are just, you just get completely, you know, you live for those moments. You're like, oh, that's so beautiful. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't live for those moments. I know Jeff does. I don't.
I normally wouldn't, but when you get to those points where you see, I mean, like when Damon looked, I mean, obviously you didn't really think he was going to die. He's like one of the people you're like, they couldn't kill me, did they, right? But you, him trying to say I love you finally, something he could never say, even not mushy romantic, just like on his journey, how far he had to go from being the just complete giant jerk to being a person who just is desperate for her to hear that, not just because he loves her, but because it makes him a better person. That's pretty cool to me. So I get sucked in kind of on a couple levels, but it is kind of romantic as well, I admit.
I'm not the only one who thinks that.
They're all terribly good looking as well. I don't know if you noticed. There's a lot of good looking on that set.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of it good looking on that set. I've been favoring Joseph Morgan a little bit more this season, so I'm really glad they brought him in. He's a very nice look at.
He's not bad. I gotta say, there's just everywhere you look, I'm always like, this is like they're paying me to look at all this pretty. It's great. You know, it's gorgeous. It's really pretty people everywhere. It's freaky. not like real life.
All right. Well, your relationship with Caroline has obviously grown a lot since during season two. And with us finally seeing that you see Caroline as a vampire and even looking like you might be able to handle it, do you think that that story is going to progress when Vampire Diaries returns for season three?
You know what? I don't know what their plan is at all, even being really close to Julie, because, you know, they don't even start back working till next week. I mean, I'm sure she has big ideas, but I don't know where they'll take it, but I do think that we've already played that I knew and didn't know, so that I must know now. I don't think they never repeat beats like that. So I'm going to know. And knowing will cause its own sort of kettle of fish, I guess, because as much as I can love her and as much as I can accept her, it's never going to be comfortable because it's so ingrained, I suppose, you know, for Cherifor to be tripped out by it. So I don't know what will happen, but I suspect that, you know, part of it will be getting comfortable with each other somehow and finding a comfortable way to deal with the reality of it on a regular basis, not just in the heat of a big, gigantic moment. And then the other thing is, who am I fighting now and who are my allies now? From my perspective, as Liz Forbes, I would say, that means she may have to sort of draw the line who she's for and who she's against. And to me, I hope that happens and it'll be interesting. I'd like that to happen, but I don't know how they'll play that out. If it's between vampires or between vampires and werewolves or between, you know, whatever. I'm assuming once I ally with my daughter, I have to pick my allies and pick my enemy, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think I'd like to see that. And I think that too, because I mean, nobody's really interested. I'm not saying people aren't interested, but your relationship with Caroline, as far as like a mother-daughter Caroline, seems to be the biggest parental relationship that people care about on the show. So I think that a lot of people would like to see that as well, kind of see where
I think some of them, how they find their way, because again, the metaphor of parents accepting kids and kids accepting parents is pretty cool. And there being a bit of that, and there being the idea of this town where everybody seems to die a lot, and a lot of parents have died a lot, there's not a lot of parental influence. It would be nice to have there be, you know, some nod to that. And they've played this so well that it seems like a nice, like one they can explore if they choose
right.
to, which of course I'd love. Anytime I get to be with Candace, I'm always happy.
That's what Susan Walters said, the same thing about Tyler. She said, anytime I get to be with him, I'm happy. And she said, and they have to have adults on the show, so I think we're okay for now.
I know. We were both so excited that we lived. We were like, we're alive. We made it. I remember at the end of season one wrap, they were like, this is a season wrap for Marguerite. And I was like, I can't believe I'm still here. People were dropping like flies season one. And I thought, I was like, oh, I'm in for a few. I'm out. And I was like, look, I'm still here. And then I thought, for sure. Once I found out that when I knew I was going to know that Caroline was a vampire more than once, I was like, uh-oh. I was like, well, it's been a good time, and it's been really fun. And then I was like, oh, okay. So partly because I suppose just realistically they have to keep some sort of sense of parents and stuff. And then there being a parent of a werewolf and a parent of a vampire, sort of Capulet-Montague thing, is pretty cool. You could do a lot with that.
Yeah.
You know, sort of... Okay.
Well, that being said, scenes between you and Candace always seem so real and emotional. And so a fan wanted to know, does that come naturally or do you rehearse a lot to accomplish that?
Well, we both, I suppose, work on our own before we get to set. You know, we do our homework as actors. And then it does help over time. You get shorthandy with actors because you just like them better and you feel like you have an intimacy that you're not pretending but that you just have. And she's adorable and delightful and funny and charming and all the things that, you know, if I ever did have a kid, I'd be so billion times lucky to have it be somebody like Candace. We like each other a lot. And I think she's a terribly generous performer. And I think we're just really open to each other. So there's a way that when you're lucky enough to have somebody really looks you in the eye in that way and sort of means it and is open and you're not all stopped up with one thing or another, you're just flowing with the scene, it does come pretty naturally. I don't think we've ever really had any great struggles. As a matter of fact, when we were shooting that last scene in the last episode where I hug her finally, we didn't have a lot of time. It was the second to last day of shooting. We were the last shot on that day, and not to mention everybody had spring fever and was desperate to get out of there. So you didn't want to waste time and have a million takes, which we never have time for anyway, but especially then, you're just like, we got to jump right in with both feet and make it happen. And every single take, meaning, you know, when they do a little, you know, a wide shot and then a closer and a close, every time that happened, it was always very full and rich. They could have picked pretty much from any of those takes. So it was just flowing and lovely. And I think we have a really nice rapport. And plus, I just, you know, she's delightful. How could you not love Candace?
Well, you do seem to work well together. Amber and I both, I live in Covington, so I come and watch filming a lot. And I saw y'all work together, and you seem to have that naturalness. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, honestly, I love doing scenes with Ian. Every time I've done a scene with anybody, it's always been so much fun. Like, they're all really great. And because they all love each other as well, like, there's a lot of friendship on set, like, it makes it easy. Like, it's a hard go for especially the top three who are in every scene practically and busy like crazy. But there is like a camaraderie, and it does make it a lot easier. You know, you just feel like you're not stopped up by somebody's mood or attitude or anything like that. It's always, you know, work first and let's have some fun. And so it's
right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Candace doesn't seem like she'd ever be one with an attitude. She's too sweet.
Oh, God, no. No, none of them. Like, honestly, I haven't witnessed any actitude. I mean, once in a while, you know, people are tired or whatever, but that just is like, that's just somebody's tired, and not even that turns into attitude. It's just literally they're just less bubbly.
Right.
I mean, it's really great, I have to say. It's really great that way.
Okay, well, this is a fun question. I'm curious to see how you'll answer it. In the future, if for some reason you were turned into a vampire, how do you think your character would react, and what kind of vampire do you think you would be?
That's a great question. Oh, wow. Well, now, this is an interesting question because, for many reasons, but they always say that when you become a vampire, you become more of what you are, which could go very poorly for poor Liz Forbes. I mean, she could have worse fashion sense. She could be more uptight. She could be like, there could be more problems. But if you said she's, what I suspect about her is that she's pretty repressed and has struggled a lot to sort of just maintain. I think she's a sad person. And I think if she actually became a vampire, all that could lift and you could actually see who she really was. And I suspect she's maybe would revel in being able to have the fun of being a vampire if she could get over the fact of her vampireness. I mean, there could be like a real way that she would be really liberated by it, similar to Caroline. Caroline became stronger and better and more confident and more kind of all of her best qualities. And it would be fun if Liz Phillips ever does go into Vampire Land. I hope she gets a really cute outfit. and that she gets to be liberated a little bit, and she might actually be somebody that you think might be Candace's or Caroline's mother, where you go, oh, I kind of feel she's not entirely like another, completely other, cut from a different cloth. There, maybe back in the day, she might have been a little bit more like Caroline, not totally, but where you could actually see them as being related. You know what
right.
I mean? I mean, that would be fun. That would actually be fun if she just felt a sense of it is
that would be cool to see. I would like to see that.
I'd like to see it.
It
would be nice to see someone kind of turn into their own worst enemy. And like, and she hates vampires so much. It'd be really bittersweet to see how she would handle it. It would be.
Like you look at yourself and you're like, I'm everything I hate and I love it. Now what do I do?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It'd be interesting.
All right, before I ask my next question, I want to comment on, when the season finale came on, you know, everybody was tweeting like crazy and whatever, but your tweet about the Voldemort Bambi thing was like the funniest thing I had ever read. It was so funny. Like, I just want to comment on it because there were so many tweets going around and everybody was trying to be funny and scarecrow, but then you tweeted that and it was really, really funny. And I just wanted to comment. I thought that was a very good comparison.
I felt lousy. People were so mad. People really reacted badly. They're like, how irresponsible. I'm like, hey, I didn't know. There wasn't supposed to be anybody in there. David was there. He's so fast. He's a vampire. Come on, cut the slack. So people were not really all that ready to cut me any slack. So I was like, dude. So I was happy that it was funny. I was like, I got to be lighthearted in my reaction to all this.
It was good. It was good. Okay, well, as we all know, no one's really safe on the Vampire Diaries. I think we tallied it up, and there's like, Jess, how many was it? Like 11 characters this season that died? Or
yeah.
Something? I don't know. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
But is it hard to overcome that you every day might be your last day?
Well, here's the thing. Not terribly, just because for two reasons. One is I always, when I first went on, I thought I was going to probably recur in and out of the first season and probably not make the first season. So I've always felt like everything after 5 or 6 episodes was sort of good luck that I was still there. So I've never been thinking that I'm safe on the show because that's sort of silly. The other thing that's good for me is I'm so close to Julie and now so close to the actors and everybody. Like all the stuff that I would be really sad about leaving the show for, mostly missing everybody, I would because I'd still be friends with everybody. So part of me goes, well, that'd be okay. Like if it happens, I certainly know they'll find a fun way to do it, which would be great. Like there, you know, people do get a lot of people have gotten some pretty good deaths. So I mean, listen, I'd love to be on it for as long as it runs, and if I die sometime short of that, I'll still feel like I was just completely lucky to be on it as long as I've been, just because it's really
right.
Fun. I mean, it's so fun. You know, you've been on set. You know, I mean, hard work, but fun for people. Fun.
It is, yeah, it is. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and I hope that too, because I mean, like Susan said before, we do need some adults around, so hopefully,
yeah, try to have a couple.
Keep some parental figures in line.
It's so funny,
well,
but I always think, and I've said this before, my biggest thing about Sheriff Forbes, and maybe your fans will have something to say about this, I'm wondering how she recruits deputies. So if anybody has any ideas, like how could you possibly, if you think about it, the population of like the police force in New York City doesn't lose as many officers every 10 years as I do in a week. So I'm like, getting these deputies, you must be like recruiting from the entire like Southeast territories. You know what I mean? Just like, they're like from Russia or somewhere, like, dude, we'll get you a visa. I don't know how she's getting.
Right, and then who's going, oh, let me sign up for this job that everybody dies in once a week.
I know,
like,
it's like, don't get attached. Just don't get attached.
They got a good payroll going at missing spots.
We pay cash now. It's just cash. Forget it. There's too much paperwork. So if you guys have any ideas, you let me know.
That's a good theory, guys. Work on that theory. All right,
yeah,
so out of the cast members that we've lost over the last couple seasons, who will you miss the most and why?
Oh. Well, honestly, you know, I loved Logan because I just was crazy for Chris Johnson, who was hilarious in season one. He was amazing in season one, but he was a hilarious guy. He was the funniest guy you've ever met. So he was, remember, the guy who was sort of dating Aunt Jenna for a minute. He was sort of douchey, and then he turned into a vampire and was creepy and scary and stuff. He was kind of really fun. Like, he was a fun guy. He was on early in season one. And, you know, of course, Uncle John. But honestly, Sarah, Aunt Jenna, she's just such a wonderful actress and such a she's just a dear person. That's going to be interesting not to have her around. Like, she's just lovely. And then I'm sure everybody was amazed to see Kayla back. You know, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. You know? So you never know what's going to happen with people. So since I, of course, am not privy to that, who knows where anybody is or going to be. But definitely, you know, you kind of feel them all. But also I don't work with a lot of people who've come and gone. So I work less with some people. So I'm like, wait, they're gone? Wait, we just had breakfast the other day. They're gone. You know? So, I mean, again, it's like deputies. You got to watch out. You get attached to. I don't know. They have a great cat. I mean, everybody's good. So, I mean, certainly Mason, oh, my God, loved him. I mean, it's just everybody's good. I don't know. There hasn't been anybody where I'm like, oh, thank God. Yeah, we're like, goodbye. No. I think we
all have
will miss Aunt Jenna. There's going to be a lot of missing Aunt Jenna. I think she added a lot of texture that they'll miss.
Yeah, and I think we all kind of hope that she might be one of the ones to come back. And we interviewed her about 2 weeks ago, and she said she'd already moved back home to Canada, and it kind of squashed all our hopes.
Well, I mean, also, I think it depends, too, on how many episodes you do. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, and I fly out for my episodes. And I actually would have done a couple more in the second season, but I had hamstring surgery. What a bore. I had my stupid hamstring popped, and I had to have hamstring surgery. So they had to write me out of a couple. So, I mean, I go back and forth. So it just sort of depends depends. I mean, she could end. I really don't know. I wish I knew. I honestly wish that I knew. But, you know, you never know. This show is so crazy. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe she'll be a walking ghost like Vicky and,
like
and
Vicky
Anna in the end here.
And Anna. I know. Did that freak you out?
That freaked me out.
It was pretty
honest.
Creepy.
I loved that ending. Like, to me, that was the most, I mean, between Stefan turning rabid and that, I was like, wow. Way to amp up the stakes, people. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I have to admit, I liked it. So, a lot of
yeah.
some fans, did, you know, they're still kind of going back and forth with how they liked it, but I really liked it a lot. So,
I definitely was kind of into it. So,
well, Sheriff Forbes has a unique bond with Damon on the show that doesn't seem to exist with most of the other characters. Was this intentional from the writers, or did it just happen naturally?
I think it was a combination where when I was first working with him, we just were pretty good, and there was this funny way that it just seemed so funny that of all people, Sheriff Forbes, because we actually filmed, when, I think, and I'm just remembering this, I think early in the first season we actually shot a scene where we were really in contention and kind of going back and forth, and they cut it. And I think it was because weirdly, I mean, not that we weren't doing it, but that they liked the parts where we were more friendly so much. And then I know that Kevin was like digging the fact that of all people for her to bond with, she seemed like we seem to have this chemistry and she's bonding with Damon. Because, of course, that's horrifying. So I think they saw that and then they wrote toward it. And then, of course, it's wonderful doing scenes with Ian because he's really funny and just makes things adorable. You know, he's just funny as can be. So we really had a good time working. And I think they just kind of wrote toward it. And then it became a really good plot point that they could exploit for him to be so on the inside of the opposite camp, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
right.
you definitely have a good chemistry. So it works
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome.
just thinking about anything with Damon and Sheriff Forbes, it's so, like, weird, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's
exactly.
a weird relationship.
Hilarious.
It's going to be interesting, yeah.
I know, once I'm actually aware, and then I know that he is and all that, like, I'm just thinking, what's that going to be? Is it going to be me, Alaric, and Damon at the bar? I mean, what's going to happen? Like, we'll all be throwing back shots and talking about strategy and being funny. Like, who knows? Like, I can picture it. It'd be very funny, actually, because I feel like that's where she'll end up. She'll be like, well, all right.
I'm just
going
to have to drown myself in this whiskey to deal with it, but I'll get a hold of it one of these days.
Exactly. So, who knows?
Yeah, it'll probably be the three of y'all hunting the wolves next season.
You know, I mean, I could see it happening. I could definitely see it happening. And then, of course, the pull of, you know, Caroline toward Tyler wanting to protect him and all that, like how that all plays out. I mean, it could definitely happen and be pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Well, what have been the best fan reactions or encounters that you have experienced? Because we all know this fandom is very, very passionate.
What have been most, sorry, which fan reactions of what?
What have been your best fan reactions or encounters?
Oh, you know what it was? Scoops. I had never, in Covington on the Square is this ice cream shop, kind of fantastic shop called Scoops that everybody talked about. And I got to set early one day. I was shooting, and it was late in the afternoon, and I knew I'd be there for a while. So I thought, wow, I could really use a coffee. And I was early, so instead of just having coffee from the truck, I thought, well, maybe I'll get, like, a coffee. So where do I go? I was like, oh, yeah, Scoops is right down the street. I walked down to Scoops, which I'd never walked into. But all of our crew, everybody goes in there. So I walked in, and there was, you know, six or seven people there, and this guy starts looking at me, and I thought, well, maybe he thought I cut the line or something, which I didn't. I was like, I didn't cut the line. And then all of a sudden, it was like, hey, are you Sheriff Forbes? I was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he was really sweet. This kind of bunch of people in there wanted to take pictures, and they were all so super sweet. There's a crowd of people. And then Susan walked in. And then they were like, oh, my God, it's the mayor. And then we were both like, wow, we wish we'd worn makeup. Because, you know, when you go to set, you're like on a plain Jane waiting to put on. So we were like, well, we would have looked cute if we knew we were going to take pictures. But hi. So it was really sweet. And all these people were there, of course, because they were going to hang out and watch the shooting. I think it might have been the Gone with the Wind sequence or something they were going to watch in the square. I don't know what it was. But there were a lot of people there. So they were all there, and they were really nice. And they were so just genuine and friendly and fun and nice. And they clearly really liked the show. And, you know, they were really enthusiastic. And it was just great. I mean, it was super pleasant. And I was like, wow, we're big hits at Scoops and in Covington, Georgia.
I've seen some fan pictures from the day. And I think you ladies looked beautiful.
Oh,
I think you need
any
makeup. You're all right.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't really, the difference for me is I don't really wear much on the show. Like, they some days they put a little more eye makeup on or something, but usually I'm pretty straight ahead, so I don't probably look that different. But we were both like, you know how you feel. You're just being girly, and you're like, wow, my hair looks funny or whatever. So we were like, oh. But it was really, really sweet. And we were like, wow, that was really sweet. It was a very nice, nice time.
Yeah, I have to say, I saw those pictures, too, and I was very upset that I didn't make it in there to get my picture yet. So I'm going to
three. You'll have so many opportunities.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Well, how do you think if I can speak right, how do you think things will change once you realize that Tyler's a werewolf and he is one of Caroline's best friends? Do we dare hope for a romance there? And I think that, and Jess, you can correct me on this, I think that in the synopsis for season 3, they mentioned kind of like a battle of the families due to the werewolf and vampire aspect.
Right. Well, that goes back to that Capulet, you know, Romeo and Juliet kind of, you know, Montague Capulet thing. I suspect they'll play on that because it feels like they've been building towards that. I feel like that would be really interesting to see and also like kind of where it's going. So I feel like... I mean, obviously, it would seem like Caroline would be super protective of Tyler, and then the mothers are going to be super protective of their kids. So we could be hitting. I have a strong feeling that the mayor and the sheriff are going to have some troubles ahead. I mean, we're not doing so great, it seems like, at the moment. She was kind of mean to me. I need some action. Come on, let me know what's going on. I'm like, wow, whatever. So back off. So I have the feeling it will escalate, and it will. I think it will be that kind of, you know. I mean, I don't know how far they'll take the romance or what, but it'll certainly be so much tension in so many ways, not just romantically, but like it's sort of epic in that it's tribal and every other kind of part of it. So I hope they play all that out because I think that's pretty cool.
Right. There's a lot of storyline to tell in season 3.
Yeah.
So it's
really
a lot of storyline. It's going to be interesting.
Well, they do blow through it pretty fast. I mean, because they don't, like, drag anything out, like, they really move the story along. So in some ways, that's actually good because they have, you know, they just kind of keep it moving so at such a pace, you know?
Right.
Well, one of the biggest moments in the finale and leading into season 3 is you shooting Jeremy. And I just have to ask, can you tell us why on earth you did that?
Well, first I'd like to say it wasn't my fault. Don't blame Sheriff Forbes. She was a woman on a mission. At that point, obviously, it's like, got to get a statement. It's done. It's over. I know what's going on. It's over. I've just walked away from yet another deputy with his throat wide open. And he's not only, you know, he's not only Damon in the sort of like, he's done all these things in the past. I literally just walked out of a room of, he's rabid right now. And he shoved me against a wall and he's clearly like, he means business. So I feel like I need to put an end to it. There's nothing else I can do. And I can't kill Caroline because I'm too tortured to kill her. But if I could, it's the only action I can take. I think she's driven to finally put an end to it because she's been so torn up about what to do about it and so powerless because it's just so much bigger than her. So I think she just figures, all right, I'll get him and that's the best that I can do and then see where we are. So she finally just says, I'm going to just do it. So that's why that's it. She's following him, she's taking him, she's going to get him. And so she goes into the empty grill. Like, she's obviously there, and she sees Damon. She has a clear shot at Damon. It's edited pretty fast, but you can see, like, she sees, it's her, she locks eyes with Damon. She looks at Damon, pulls the trigger, and then it's like, in a flash, it's Jeremy. And, of course, it's, like, the most horrifying thing ever. Like, oh,
yeah.
My God, this is horrible.
I definitely blame Damon.
I mean, Damon jumped out of the way. Jeremy ran behind him. He's like, dude, you already
right.
twisted his neck. You got lucky. You had the ring. What else do you want? You expect Elena to like you?
And Jeremy was talking on the phone, and clearly with his super vampire hearing, he knew he was behind him, in my opinion.
I do agree that, you want to be careful with the firearms, Jer Forbes. I get it. But I think under those circumstances, it had to have been. And, somebody said something about, well, what if it was a wooden bullet? But I'd say at that short range, a wooden bullet would do a lot of damage. You could kill somebody with a wooden bullet just as good as you could with a, I don't know, but it seems like
that I would
kind of ballistic.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I just feel like it was, I didn't even question it when I read it, because you could see the moment where she comes in there, she sees Damon, steps in, sees Damon, he locks eyes with her, and she shoots him, and then realizes it's Jeremy. So I don't think and it's quiet and empty. It's not like it's a room full of people and she takes a pot shot, you know? So to me, I didn't find that super distressing the way I read it. My reading of it was, it was her and Damon, and that was what she thought. So,
it definitely made sense. I'll give you that. I'll tell you though, my daughter, she still thinks it's funny, because when we were watching it, and right when you shot him, I won't ever forget. I looked at her and I said, "Oh hell no! I'm interviewing her in 2 weeks, and I'm going to say something." And my daughter started laughing, and I said, "You know," and then it all turns out okay in the end. So,
it's interesting. A lot of people were really sort of up in arms. That's why I had to write my little comment, because it was dude, come on. And I have to say, of course, like, I actually am not crazy for shooting scenes where I'm pulling a trigger on a, on a person. Like, I know it's blanks and all that business, but it's upsetting. I don't know how people can. It'd be very hard for me, I'd say, to ever really pull a trigger in earnest on anyone. Even in self-defense, boy, I'd have to be really defensive, you know? So, I mean, I can imagine, if for her, she's law enforcement, she's trained, she's a mother, she's this, she's that. Her, even in these extreme circumstances, there must have been some due diligence. But you also sort of have to say, these are heightened circumstances, like insane. Like, it's supernatural versus just a puny human, you know? So I cut her some slack.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Well, Paul Summers and some of the other cast members have been telling us some very funny behind-the-scenes stories. Do you have any that you can share?
Oh.
He told us about a Hershey's Kiss with David Anders.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know, offhand, they're probably just too filthy, really. That's a joke. I don't offhand. I can't think of anything. I'm not a big joke puller. I usually am the one who's like standing there laughing, but I'm not the one to pull it, because I'll just be like, I don't want to get anybody super mad.
Right.
I tried to pull a joke on somebody my first Broadway show I did, and I almost had a heart attack. So it was like so much worse for me than for them. I was like, I can't do this. I can't live through the tension of this. So mostly, if I see something, I think it's funny. That's great. But mostly, I'm not the one pulling the joke. And so far, no one's really pulled any big jokes on me. So I wish I could think of something funny. I'll have to take note next season what's funny, and then I'll remember these things. Yeah.
Remember next season, and you can tell us when you come back.
I will. I'm going to write stuff down now. That's it. I'm going to totally be on board for this next year.
And then what we need to do, Jess, is next season, she needs to be one of our first interviews. So if she hasn't been pranked, then we can tell everybody else that comes on the show to make sure they prank her.
Yeah.
There you go. That's right. There you go. That's great. Uh-oh. it'd be so easy to prank me too. Like, it would be like the easiest thing in the world, with the gun and the thing and all that stuff. Like, you could totally. Alright, and now I'm worried. Okay, I'm officially worried.
Okay, well, do you like filming best on location or at the stages?
I like it's a bit of a hike, because we're in Atlanta out to Covington, but if you're not going in terrible traffic, it's like a totally easy ride, and it's so pretty in the square. I probably like that, because my sheriff office is right in that building next to the grill, whatever, and it's so open and has big windows, and that building's so pretty. I think I like location better. I mean, the stages are great because they're comfortable and good and convenient and all that, but location's just always prettier and more festive, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I like it when y'all come to location, because I live here, so.
Yeah, everybody says location.
Oh, does everybody say it?
Yeah, pretty much everybody says, okay, yeah. And I think a lot of it probably is that any TV show, most TV shows, you know, when you're filming in L.A. and stuff, and my assumption out of people we've interviewed and stuff, it's all stages. They don't get to do a location a lot. So I think that a lot of people prefer it because it's kind of like getting out there.
Yeah, and what happens is over time as the series progresses, they quit using the location as they can build it on a set because it's cheaper and more controllable. So you'll start with a bunch of locations and then they'll recreate them and you come back and you're like, oh, now it's on set. Oh, no. So it does, it winnows down all the locations that you'll use. But this show looks so pretty on location. It just makes it really look nice, you know? So I hope they keep the location.
That's true. Me too. I like it. I like the square
a
lot. All right. Well, if you could choose another character to play on the show, who would you choose and why?
Oh, who would I choose? Who would I choose? Wow, there's so many good ones. Because at first you kind of go, well, Catherine would be fun because you play Catherine. It's like you get to be like all that kind of twitchy, bitchy stuff. And then I just like love Klaus. I like all the bad guys, I think. I like the bad guys. I have to say. Although Bonnie, that is some rockin' stuff with the witches. That's pretty cool too. I don't know. I'd have to say it'd be a toss up between Klaus and I wanna say Catherine and Klaus. Those are fun parts, but that kind of like they're both sort of two-sided. They're very sort of two-faced in their way. They both sort of like seem so lovely and are so creepy, really. So I think I like those kind of characters. So yeah, those are awesome characters. I like those guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're also my favorite. Klaus is definitely my favorite right now because he's like the epitome of a real vampire to me. There's no like
he's really
stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like intense. It's awesome.
Yeah. I like him a lot. Yeah. Well, since this was Paul Summers' first time directing, but he's kind of been with you guys for a while, was it easier on the cast for him to come in as a director?
Well, guess what? I was supposed to be in that episode, and then I wasn't. They flipped it so that I was in the one before him and the one after him. So I never got to work with him, but it looked gorgeous. He had a great time, and everybody said really great things about it. And he was definitely, I think, really appreciated for everything he put in it. And it looked great. I mean, it definitely was. It was, and of course, my God, that episode was so huge. Like, it was just a giant, giant episode. So, I mean, I think you can't be anything but impressed. So, but I heard only great things about it, but I didn't get to work. I mean, we were both like, really? Crap, I'm not in this episode. So, no luck there. No answer there.
Oh, poor Paul. He can't, I think when he came on, he was talking about filming his episode, and he was talking about how his episode was like the biggest episode of the season. He's like, my episode's
pretty
much
going to
tie up.
Yeah. I mean, when I read it, I was like, this is Paul's first episode. This guy. Oh, my God. You got to be so brave to jump into that as your first episode. I mean, he's giant. And then he did a great job. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I think
agree.
It was one of the best episodes of the season for sure. So
Yeah.
Kudos
to
Paul for sure.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
I agree. All right, well, before we let you go, we do have one more question, and then we're going to ask if you'll do a quit. But do you have any upcoming projects that can look forward to seeing you in?
Right now I'm on hiatus, and I'm not auditioning for anything because my husband is working on a big movie called Jack the Giant Killer in London for 6 months. So for the last, since February, I've been going back and forth between L.A., Atlanta and London to be with him when I can. So now that it's a hiatus, I had my little Cabo time with Julie and my friend Liz, and now I'm going to head to London this week for 2 months or as long as I can. If I'm in the first episode, it might get cut short a little bit. But so I'm not working at all right now. I'm trying to go play wife for a couple of months and hang out with my husband.
Oh, that's good. Now and then.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great, and London, you know, is a little bit spectacular. It's not like you get bored there, so it's gonna be nice. And we have a lot of time together, but then we have like, you know, we try not to go longer than 2 weeks apart. But this is really nice to have like a real time together. And then depending on his next project, hopefully, I'm trying to get him to take a little break after this, so that I would be going back to vampires, and he might have a little time off. We'll see. He's sort of an in-demand guy, so we'll see.
Well, I hope that works out for you and that you don't have to spend more than 2 weeks apart from him. I know how hard that is.
We do okay, but iChat and FaceTime is my favorite, so it's all pretty good.
That's true. That is true. I'm able to stay in touch with my brother, who's 6 hours behind me, thankfully, to Skype. So I'm pretty thankful for it.
It makes all the difference, doesn't it, when you see people? It's just great.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, we ask everybody to do a clip for us. So if you'll just say something. Huh?
That's right. I remember we did that last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can put your own twist on it. You can say, you know, whatever you like, but just, you know, this is Marguerite McIntyre and you're listening to the VRO, or pretty much whatever you want to say. There's no limit.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
Tell me when. Okay. This is Marguerite McIntyre. Keep listening to the VRO.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marguerite.
Thank you, guys. You're so sweet. Hopefully come see us in the hot summer, or we'll come see you in Covington.
Oh, we sure will. Don't you worry. And before you let us go, though, I do want to apologize for Amber's right there. She shouldn't have done that. So.
What? When?
No worries.
Well, you just said, huh, to her.
Oh, I think because I didn't understand what she was saying, and I didn't mean to say it like that. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, Margaret, if you'll just hold on, Amy will pull you into the queue and let you go. And we really appreciate you calling in, and we hope we get you back next season.
Oh, anytime, you guys. You're great.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, everybody. Hello. That was Margaret. She did a good job, didn't she, Amber?
You're an asshole. I mean, seriously, what did Amy say the other day? She was like, people don't like to call in because you're so mean to Jessica. And I'm like, I don't think so.
Well, before we let everyone go tonight, I want to let everyone know at 10:30 tonight, the VRO welcomes the Mechanical People. Join Joshua Reed Davis as he talks to Ben Grotner, and I hope I said that right, Ben Johnson and Jake Miller about their new album, The Dark Dark. So that's going to be coming up right after this. So if y'all want to just sign back into the chat, that'd be really great. I know Josh is a good host, and him and Amy are going to be doing that show. So I'm going to be listening, so you all should too. And I'm totally not an asshole. I called you out because it sounded rude.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about, so I don't remember saying it. So it doesn't count.
Yes, it does. Go back and listen.
Well, it doesn't count. Anyways, another show we're doing sometime next week. I just announced on Twitter today. There's no exact plans for it, but I want to do a huge Pirates of the Caribbean recap show. So sometime next week. We're giving Jess until next week to see it. So you need to go to the movies and watch it. And we're
going
to do a huge recap.
It's a radio station, but they do it online. And different hours of the day, they do different subjects, you know, like...
what is this?
I don't know.
Environment.
Amy, did you pick somebody up?
But this one.
Okay, guys. I don't know who that is.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, Lord, help me. Well, they're gone now. Okay.
What was that?
Yeah, we...
No, they're back.
I'm a member of this group called the Texas National Movement, which what
this
they
is
do
so much
is
fun
they,
to hang up and not listen and see
they're
who
working
it is.
On the independent for Texas, you know, breaking away from the United States to become our own republic like we once were for 9 years back in 1833.
Amber.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And then.
Amy, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're saying, somebody else is saying something.
And there's a lot of politicians that talk about it, but they're afraid to put legislation for
I think we might have got intertwined with another show.
Nobody wants to do it. And the session's almost over. Only got a couple
okay,
more days. And we had...
Okay, guys, that's
started,
not our show tonight, so I think we're just going to hang up and let Amy make an excuse for the next show. Okay, Amber?
I don't know where Amy's at or what's going on. So, all right, good night, guys.
They say, nah.
Hi, guys.
Yes, we're going to get a lot of rhetoric back from it. We're going to get a lot of bad feedback from it because they're wimping out.
Yeah. Bonefish Grill is now open in the Concord Mills Mall at entrance number 2. Indulge this holiday season at our new location and celebrate with dishes like new lobster, crab, and artichoke dip, delectable fresh Oscar mahi-mahi, and miso-yaki Chilean sea bass. Pair these with the handcrafted guest favorite cocktail, the Winter White Cosmo, and delicious chocolate creme brulee for dessert. If you're looking for holiday gifts in addition to a great meal, receive a $10 bonus card for every $50 you purchase in gift cards at the Concord Mills Mall Bonefish Grill, now through December 31st.